John 18 and verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, which I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but of well, why smitest thou me? Now Ananias had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the word that You have given to us. We thank Thee for the revelation of Christ that we have in the word. Father, we pray tonight as we look into Your word and we look at the life of Peter that we may see something of the wonder of his Savior. Father, we pray that we may be encouraged, that we may be blessed. Add Your blessing to the reading and to the preaching of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I hadn't been in full-time ministry very long, and before I went to a Saturday night Bible study or teaching meeting, the brother who was speaking got up and his first words were, "We're going to study the life of Peter." I got my notebook out as I always did. I sat with my notebook ready, and after about 3 minutes, I wrote one sentence, and it said simply, "Peter condemned and crucified, Liverpool," and I put the date. I determined that night that in any occasion that I preached on Peter, I would make it clear that I have no intentions of criticizing him. In fact, I want to give you four things that I want you to remember about Peter that ought to be very helpful to us. The first one is that Peter is a real person, not a cardboard character. I don't know whether you've watched any of the World Cup, but I saw something funny today. The coach of England was born in Sweden. England today played Sweden. And when they put the camera on the crowd, right at the very front of the crowd, they had a cardboard replica of the England manager. And he had a Swedish scarf around his neck. And they kept waving every time the camera went on them. They kept waving this cardboard character. And I laugh at it because I think sometimes when we come to the Word of God, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, we get into our minds cardboard characters. Not real people with real problems. Not real people with real emotions. Not real people with real temptations. But just characters. Do you ever notice that when you're reading about David, you know that David should have done better, but you don't always know that you should have done better? When you're reading about Peter, you know that Peter shouldn't have done some of the things that he did, and he shouldn't have said some of the things that he said. But I don't always know when I shouldn't do the things I do and when I shouldn't say the things I say. Peter was real. He lived in very real circumstances. In fact, his circumstances were far more real than you and I will probably ever know. Turn with me in Luke's Gospel to chapter 22. Now, I know as soon as I said that I've got the wrong text. Sorry, Luke chapter 5. I got it. You read my notes, you would understand that if I wrote them in an orderly way, I'd be able to follow them in an orderly way, but that's not always the case. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, I was right the first time, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Well, you've had your laugh, now just encourage me, don't... Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I don't read anywhere else in the New Testament that Jesus ever spoke those words to any of the other disciples. We've been studying up until... this morning was the start of a new series, but we had been studying the life of Job and how God permitted things to happen in Job's life after Satan had attacked Job, after Satan had challenged Job's faith and Job, the reason for Job's faith. Well, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. In fact, he didn't say that. He said, Simon, Simon. Do you remember the time when Jesus told him his name would be Peter? Well, Jesus here in Luke 22, he reverts back to the original name. And he says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. What that means to me is that Peter was in the front line of the attacks of Satan. He was a special chosen target for the devil. I don't know that any of the other apostles could say that. And I don't know that you or I could say that. That there was a special determination against Peter by all the powers of hell. Peter was a real person, and he was in the forefront of the work that Jesus Christ was going to do. He was going to be one of those who was sent out with special responsibilities. He wasn't a cardboard character. He was a real person. Second thing I want you to remember is that he was a real believer with a very real and strong love for the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of his failings. In spite of his failings. When Jesus asked a question, Peter was the first to give answer. When Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter was the one before the rest of the disciples who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when Jesus said, and we read it in Matthew 26, that he was going to go up to Jerusalem, he was going to be taken, he was going to be crucified, when Peter rebuked him, Peter meant it with all his heart. When Jesus said the sheep would be scattered, Peter meant with all his heart when he said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm going to be with you. Even if it means me dying with you, I'm going to be with you. He had a passionate love for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say the third thing is this. He was a real servant who failed. and who, after his failure, was restored and recommissioned by the Lord. Many people would have written Peter off and said, "That's it, Peter, you're finished." But Jesus didn't. You know, sometimes I think we're too quick to write people off. And the Lord says, reach out. You see, when Satan desired to have him and to sift him as wheat, Satan couldn't stop him being saved. But he could attack him in such a way that he would affect the usefulness. Can you imagine denying Jesus the way Peter did? Well, I can, because I've done it more than once. You see, you're in the pulpit and you've told people you don't. No. I've never actually stood in front of people and denied Jesus, but I've denied him by my actions. I've denied him by my silence, probably the greatest sin of the church in the world today. Is to deny the Savior not by what they say, but by the fact that they keep their mouths closed. And they say nothing. You know, the phrase when we arrived in America was, the silent majority. Well, I've got news for you. They're still silent. And they're still the majority. They're still silent. Peter wasn't. And Jesus didn't write him off because of his failures. Indeed, Jesus forgave him and he recommissioned him, and we'll see that in John's Gospel, chapter 21. The fourth thing is this. Peter is to be a real example. Not an object of our criticism, not someone to tear down, but someone that the Word of God opens his life for you and I to look at and learn from. Because no matter how much I criticize Peter, and no matter how much I can point out things that he did wrong, and no matter how much I could tear him down, and God forbid that I should want to, I'll probably never be good enough to touch the bottoms of Peter's shoes. And the men who have done that in the pulpit and torn Peter down should have realized that with all his failings, he was a spiritual giant compared to most of the people in the world at that time. And most of the people who name the name of Christ today. Maybe all of them. You know, Peter learned some tremendous lessons. When the Lord took the three disciples into the garden with him and began to pray, when Jesus, the Son of God, could say, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death," and he comes back and he finds the disciples sleeping, all three of them sleeping, why was it that he turned to Peter and said to Peter, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour, Peter?" Why didn't he say it to John, the beloved disciple who leaned on his breast? I'll tell you why. Because Peter always expressed the desire of his heart to be with Jesus regardless of what the circumstances, regardless of what the battle. And let me tell you, in the book of John and in the book of Luke, when Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, there was the greatest spiritual battle of all time begun. And what Jesus is saying to Peter is, "Peter, I want you to realize the intensity of the battle that's only begun, and you couldn't watch with me 1 hour. You couldn't watch with me 1 hour. But you know, when the soldiers came, the one who couldn't watch with them 1 hour was the one who drew a sword. And I know he was wrong. But he was the one who was going to do everything humanly possible to stop that rabble mob taking his beloved master. Why do you think he did it? Because in his heart, he had a special love for the Lord Jesus Christ. A special love. You know, I was reading one morning, and now we'll go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. I was reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and didn't really get a whole lot out of it, but I was on my way to work that morning and I was listening to a Christian station out of Winston-Salem, and the man on the radio said, you know, I was reading this morning about Peter. My ears picked up because so was I. In Luke's Gospel chapter 5, we have the story of Peter and the disciples going out to fish. And they toiled all night and they caught nothing. And let me read it to you in chapter 5 and verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, we have taken nothing, nevertheless at thy word I will let down the net. I want you to notice, Jesus says nets. Peter, to me with a great reluctance in his voice, says net. And then it says this in verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, you know, I've read that many times and didn't realize. Turn over with me to John's Gospel, chapter 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 4. Let's read verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he saith unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Notice the net. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. See, when this happens, Peter realizes that it's the Lord. But let me read to you what it says in verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Peter had learned the great lesson that partial obedience to the Lord Jesus is very costly. When Jesus says, Peter, cast the nets, Peter, because he didn't think anything was going to happen, cast the net. And the net broke. But when Jesus says, Peter, cast the net, Peter didn't say, now the last time this happened, the net broke, I'm going to cast the net. No, he cast the net. And he caught a great multitude of fish. And the Word of God records for us that even though there were 156 fish, yet was not the net broken. You know what partial obedience is, don't you? Lord, I know what your word says, but I'll do most of it and I'll leave some of it undone. Lord, I know exactly how you want me to behave. I know exactly how you want me to live. I know how you want me to think. I know how you want me to speak. I know how you want me to walk. I know how you want me to dress. But Lord, I'm going to choose what areas I want to obey you in. That's partial obedience. Well, you see, for all his faults, Peter learned that partial obedience wasn't good enough when it's Jesus who's giving the instructions. And then we come in John 18 and in Matthew 26 when Jesus is in the garden. When he's in the garden, he sees the arrest. He sees the disciples going, and he follows. The Word of God is even careful enough to tell us how he got inside through the gate, because there was another there who was a disciple of Jesus whom they knew. Now, I got a question. If this other person who was a disciple of Jesus, who was able to go in through the gate, able to come out again and bring Peter in to the courtyard, why didn't they challenge him as to his being a disciple of Jesus? But they come to Peter, and Peter denies the Lord three times. I'm not going to take one thing away from the fact that Peter denied the Lord. All I'm going to say to you is, as I've said already, I don't know any believer who hasn't done the same thing. Who hasn't done the same thing. You know, when I've done it, beloved, I haven't seen the eyes of the Lord looking straight at me when I denied him. Peter made eye contact with the Savior when he denied him for the third time. I asked myself, why did it happen? Well, first of all, Peter's desire to be faithful to his own words, more faithful than his brethren, put him in the place of difficulty and of accusation. I can't criticize Peter for being there, for following Jesus that closely, without commenting on the fact that all the rest of the disciples, from the lips of Jesus himself, they had all forsook him and fled. In other words, they didn't even get that far along the pathway. They didn't get there. The second thing is that Peter failed to hear and to heed the words of Jesus. Jesus said to him, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. I imagine what must have gone through Peter's mind when he was standing at the fire. And the first person said to him, aren't you one of his followers? And Peter denied knowing Jesus. You and I aren't given to look into his heart and into his mind. But might there have been something in his heart and mind that should have said, if I don't get myself out of these circumstances, I'm going to do just what Jesus said I would do. If I don't get out of here, I'm not only going to deny him once, I'm going to do exactly what he said. I'm going to deny him 3 times. Tell me, have you ever been guilty of doing that? Have I ever been guilty? I don't need to answer that. Things that I knew were a denial of the Lord, and if I'd only done them once, they would be horrible, but I do them all the time. Times when I've been silent, when I should have spoken for the Savior. Guilty, Lord. Guilty. But if he should have known when the first took place, when the second took place, he should have known definitely that he was warming himself at the world's fire and round about him were the enemies of the Lord. You see, that was his problem. That was his problem. And then when he denies the Lord Jesus on the third occasion, he knew that the words of Jesus had just been fulfilled. And the Word of God tells us that as soon as he did it, the cock crew. Why did he do it? Because he put himself in a place that he shouldn't have been. Because he didn't listen to the words of Jesus and heed them. Because he failed to recognize the power and desire of the enemy of his soul. And because of the fear of man. Tell me, what do you think they would have done if Peter, standing at that fire, had said, yes, I'm one of his? What would they have done? Another one of his had brought Peter in, who was known to them. We've no reason to believe they would have done him any physical harm. But yet the fear of man caused Peter to deny the Lord. Turn over with me briefly, and my time's nearly gone, to John chapter 21. Verse 9, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals and fish and bread, or lead, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Verse 12, Jesus says, come and dine. You see, when the Lord brings Peter to the place of restoration, he's not at the world's fire. He's at the Lord's fire. And he's surrounded by the Lord's people. and he's going to experience the Lord's provision. Do you ever stop and ask yourself where the fish came from that Jesus had already cooked on the fire? As we're told, the fish was there and the bread was there, and then Jesus said to them, "Bring of the fish that ye have caught." Did Jesus need fishermen to get fish? No, indeed he didn't. What was Jesus doing? He was showing Peter and the rest of the disciples the gentleness with which he, the Son of God, handles his people even when they fail. I don't know whether any of them thought it, but the other disciples could have thought, some leader Peter is, eh? Jesus deals with him in loving kindness and in tenderness. You know why I understand that? Because he's had to deal with me the same way so many times. Times of failure. And I come into the presence of God and I feel in my heart that he has every right to cast me away. And instead he puts his arms around me and he bathes my wounds. And he encourages me. You can almost imagine Jesus saying to Peter, "Peter, it may have seemed like the end of the world, but today is the beginning of a new world." You see, he not only has the fire of coals. He says to Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" I'm going to go into all the details. And I have no doubt why Peter was upset that the Lord asked him the third time. Because Peter knew how many times he had denied the Lord at the world's fire. And the Lord was making sure that the restoration was total. And when Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter gives answer, I'm going to go into the different words used. I'm going to go into the sliding scale of love that Jesus had to use. Just going to say this. Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." The youngest of the believers, the babes in Christ. The Lord Jesus looks at the one who had denied him. And he says, "Peter, I want you to look after the babes in Christ. I want you to care for them the way I'm caring for you." Then he says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And I have my own view as to why that is repeated, but I don't have time for it. The gracious, gentle tenderness of Jesus Christ dealing with his people. Tell me, do you think Peter had made his last mistake? I probably shouldn't laugh at it, but I love it. Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, this is how you're going to die." And having heard from the Lord how he's going to die, Peter looks around and he sees John. He says, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus says, "Peter, what is that to thee? What is it your business what I'm going to get him to do? You follow me." you remember what Jesus said to Peter right at the beginning? Follow me. You follow me. You know, as I walk with the Lord, I'd love to be able to tell you I let him down less frequently now than I used to. I think the attacks of Satan just become more subtle, more difficult for us to understand, attacking deeper parts of our being. But when I come back to my blessed Savior, he always treats me with that same loving kindness, that same restoring hand of grace. Aren't you glad he's your Savior too? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for one who loved us unto the end, who loves us still. Father, as we look at the life of Peter, we see so much of what we ourselves fail in. But we see also the gentleness and the tenderness of our blessed Savior as he restores and recommissions and calls us to follow him.